And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that is making a difference around the world. I want to do just a few things with respect to housekeeping. First of all, let everybody know that you ought to go to iTunes and give the Hank Unplugged podcast a 5-star rating. I mean, if you really think it's a 5-star show. And of course, review, subscribe, share, all of those are action points that puts the podcast at the top of the list in the religion space. We have been bringing some of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet to you, and today is no exception. I'm really excited for this particular edition of Hank Unplugged because I have Jack and Marcia Countryman with me. And to give you just a little background, Jack has had an incredible impact on the publishing industry, and behind every great man is an even greater woman, and that is certainly the case when it comes to Marcia. I mean, I can tell you that from firsthand experience. But Jack has had Jack and Marcia, they've had a 30-year contribution together to inspirational publishing and a legacy of impacting lives for Christ through more than 100 inspirational books. And Jack has passed 20 million units, maybe many more than that, but at least 20 million units. As author of God's Promises, that's a brand in and of itself. And I know it was written somewhere. It was written on the kitchen table with Marcia. One of the cool things that I've watched over the years, and we'll talk about that today, is the two of them journaling early in the morning, setting a standard for all of us to follow in that regard. But before I do that, Mark Schoenwald, he's the president and CEO of HarperCollins, had some incredible things to say about Jack, and I don't think anybody could have said what he said any better than this. He said that Jack is an inspiration to all of us as a leader by example. Each day he has a positive attitude, an incredible work ethic. And while his publishing accomplishments are numerous, he's an even better mentor, and he's a teacher to all of us. He's generous in sharing knowledge and experience. He's a tireless worker. He's applied his many gifts to spread the gospel, to impact people's lives in a profound way. Many other people have commented about Jack, the state of Tennessee's House of Representatives, their General Assembly, called Jack a legend in the realm of Christian publishing, and that's what he is. And so with that, I want to welcome Jack and Marcia to the Hank Unplugged podcast.
Well, it's just great to be with you, Hank, and to share our love for the Lord together.
Are you sitting next to your beautiful wife, Marcia?
Yes, I am.
Because I can't see you right now. I wish I could, but I'm glad the two of you are on the podcast together, because as much as I love you, I love your wife as much.
Well, thank you.
So, hi, Marcia.
Marcia?
What's she doing, cooking?
Hi, Hank.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
That's not Marcia.
Well,
you can't fake it, Jack. I mean, you sound a little like a woman, but you can't fake it.
Well, I'll have her say hello.
Okay. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
It's nice of you to finally join the party. I'm doing great.
Well, since we only had one telephone receiver, we didn't have a headset or anything. So
what are you doing, passing it back and forth?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So Jack can keep things moving.
Okay. Well, it's nice to talk to you as well, Marcia.
Thanks. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Jack, it wasn't all that long ago. We were in Orlando, Florida, and we're at Bay Hill, and we are having a conversation with a king. Of course, I'm talking about Arnold Palmer. And I remember him saying that he was born September 10, 1929, and you guys having a conversation about age. Obviously, he died September 25th, I think it was 2016. But the two of you, almost the same age, and I was thinking as I was watching the interaction between Arnold Palmer and Jack Countryman that I was in the presence of two legends. And I remember one of the two of you calling the other a spring chicken, but I can't remember who was calling who what.
Well, that was him calling me a spring chicken. So
that means that you're only 88?
I'll be 88 December 18th.
December 18th. Okay, so you're not quite 88. But you are, I mean, you're amazing when it comes to your energy, your stamina. And every single time I ever talk to you, I say, Jack, how's it going? You go, I'm doing great. And I tell you what an example that you have set for the rest of us with God's blessing on your life. I mean, you consider your stamina to be a gift from God.
Oh, absolutely. You know, without the Lord, I'm nothing. But with Him, I'm everything.
Yeah, and, you know, I dedicated my latest book to you. I remember the dedication well. I said, I gratefully dedicate this book. It's the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, to Jack Countryman, who has taught me by word and example what it means to love my Lord, my family, and my craft. With him, I pray, Lord, please don't ever put me on the bench. And that is something that I've heard you say over and over again. You don't have to work. I mean, you're one of the most successful people on the planet. I mean, money is not an issue for you, but you work because you want to be involved in the vineyard. You want to make every single moment count. And I think that your words to our audience in that regard would be very, very beneficial.
Well, you know, retirement's not in the Bible. It's not even a word that's ever been mentioned in the Bible. And for me to think that I would go to pasture is just something I just cannot consider. The time I do go to pasture will be when the Lord takes me home. Mm. I have found that in my older age, my wisdom is much sharper, and I have made all the mistakes that a person can make, and I've learned well that the Lord is in charge. I'm merely His servant. He's put me on this earth to use me for His glory, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And when I write a book or am involved in a book, I just feel like that it's a blessing from the Lord, and something that I can contribute to. Maybe it'll touch lives and change lives for His glory. And, hey, that's what life is all about, you know. And so I feel so privileged that Marcia and I can continue to work and that someone really wants us and that we have a chance to continue to bring God's word to millions of people.
Now, I got to tell you, though, Jack, I mean, there's something about you that really bothers me, and that is you're trying to get me to come to Orlando, Florida. You want me to postpone my operation because I have cancer, because you think that you can finally take advantage of Chemo Boy. You think you could beat me on the golf course. And so now you're trying to get me to postpone the operation, come down, just so you can give me a whooping.
Well... yeah, you took the words out of my mouth.
You are a sly dog, Jack.
Yes. Well, we have such wonderful times together on the golf course, and I look forward to every year spending time with you in Orlando and strolling the fairways together and just exchanging life together. And so I'm hopeful that you are going to postpone your treatment and come down and spend some time with me.
But again, it's just so you can beat me. I mean, I think that's your motivation.
Yes, absolutely.
So a couple other things I want to get straight here. You know, you have published a number of my books. The Heart of Christmas, of course, Christmas comes around every single year, and that book is a favorite to many people. It's a journey to the heart of Christmas. It is a 25-day devotional. And I'm actually doing videos on it as we speak, and they're going to be up on the web at equip.org and YouTube and the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and so forth. You've also talked me into another book. It took you a while, but you finally talked me into doing the Bible Answer book. And that's been a book that has impacted the lives of so many people all around the world. I mean, everywhere I go, people tell me that book has given them answers to questions that they have tried to figure out for a long, long time. And it took me a long time to talk you into publishing that book, but you finally did.
Well, you're so bullheaded. You won't even listen to me. And so finally you did, and of course it has sold over 500,000. And it is that kind of a book that everyone needs. Everyone needs to know the answers to the Bible that are so important in life, and some more important in giving them direction in life. And I'm just thankful that we've had a chance to do that, and it's a beautiful book, and you know, what would they do is they get a taste of you and a taste of your knowledge, and that's just wonderful.
And you have had such an impact with your own books. I mean, it's not only that you've probably published more books than anyone on the planet, but I mean, here you have your own brand, God's Promises, and those books, I mean, it's not 500,000. It's millions and millions and millions and millions, and it continues to make an impact everywhere across the globe. You and I were in China together, and we were at a hotel on the Bund in Shanghai, and there was a guy that owned the hotel, is a very good friend of mine, and now yours as well, Elijah. And when he met you, his jaw dropped because he had a copy of God's Promises, and it was dog-eared, underlined. I mean, you could see he had really used this book.
And he'd had it for 17 years. What amazed me was that the book had made all its way to China. And, of course, I was thrilled, and I promised him a new book the following morning, which I brought to him. And the fact that, you know, you never know where your books are going to go or the lives are going to be touched or the people that are whose lives are going to be changed. And the fact that he had the book and it meant so much to him just really thrilled me.
You know, I talk a little bit about Marcia. I mean, I said this at the open of the podcast, that behind every great man is a great woman, and in this case, an even greater woman. And I certainly mean that with great respect for you. You're one of my best friends. But your wife, Marcia, is just incredible. And one of the things that has always inspired me is the stories that you tell, not only about how you go to bed together and prepare for going to bed together, and how you get up in the morning. And one of the things in particular that strikes me in this regard is how when you get up early in the morning, you journal together. Talk about that.
Well, we have been journaling with the Daily Light Journal, which is compilated scripture. And we've been doing that for, I imagine 10 years. And what we do is we take, on the left-hand page is my day, on the right-hand page is her day. And so we will read, and then we will journal, and it's amazing. We journal differently. God speaks to me in a certain way and speaks to her in a certain way, and we just share that time together as we study God's Word together. And that has made a real impact on our lives, most jointly in a marriage way, and also in a spiritual way. And so it was just been a wonderful experience, and we continue to do that. Now we take Jesus Calling or Jesus Always, which is Sarah Young's devotional, and we add that on to the tail end of our study together. So the bottom line is it's a discipline that we never, ever turn loose of. No matter where we go, no matter where we travel, we always have our Daily Light with us and the Jesus Calling with us so that we can share them in the morning together when we get up. And we start our day with the Lord, and so that the Lord is in the center of our lives as we begin the day.
So you mentioned a couple of things, and maybe we should pick up on those things. One is disciplines. This journaling process that you're involved in is a discipline. And I think one of the things that really creates success in a spiritual sense in the lives of people are disciplines, spiritual disciplines, but also being disciplined. A lot of people don't have a sense of what it means to be disciplined, to have routines. I mean, when we play golf, we go through routines before we hit the golf ball. But in life, you have to have routines as well. You have to have disciplines. And oftentimes, it's that discipline that makes the difference between a life well lived and one that is sort of haphazard.
I couldn't agree with that more. You know, there's certain things that you do and there's certain things you do not do. There's certain guards that you put up and certain things that, you know, you just say, I will not be a part of that. And that comes to television, movies, friends, everything.
Disciplines make all the difference in the world. And you also touched on the issue of marriage. I mean, that journaling is part of your marriage covenant. And I think a lot of people need to hear from you. After 87 years on this planet, you know a little bit about marriage, the significance of marriage, and also the significance of what happens when there are broken families. And I want you to talk a little bit about your life experience when it comes to marriage and to raising kids. And all of us make mistakes, but you have really dedicated yourself to maybe what we call the art of marriage. You've dedicated yourself to the psychophysical pleasure of marriage, to the parabolic nature of marriage. Marriage is a parable. It's a story of Christ and the church lived out through people that are living together. It's also something that paradoxically is dealing with the whole rhythm of life. So talk a little bit about the significance of marriage, the testimony that you make to others through a relationship with your wife. And I mean, I see this everywhere. I've watched you closely for a long time. You've been a mentor to me in many, many different ways. But I will tell you in one way in particular, I watch the way you treat Marcia, the way Marcia treats you, the way you hold hands, the way you respect one another. This is, well, I don't want to trivialize this in any way whatsoever, but it's a lost art, the art of marriage.
Well, you know, we've been married 52 years. And I love her more today than I've ever loved her. You see, I've learned to appreciate Marcia because she has intuitions that I don't have. She did. I've learned, it took me about 20 years, but I finally learned that I was smart if I listened to her. And I would say that the secret to our marriage is that you got to love the other person more than you love yourself. And when you do that, you really hold your partner up in such a way that, you know, one of the things that I've also discovered, none of us are perfect. We've all got flaws, but to love the other person for the goodness in them and the positive things that they bring to the table. And, you know, Marcia and I have no secrets. Everything is on the table. She has access to my phone, access to my computer, access to everything I have in life. And that I have that same with her. And that's the way to build security in your marriage, is when you have an open door that there are no secrets. And I found that that is one of the real answers that people have. It isn't, you know, I have my own little life. No, we have our life. It's our life and our life together. God has blessed us with 52 years of marriage, and it's been such a wonderful trip. And the influence we have on our kids is a blessing too, because they see us as one, and we don't make separate choices. Whenever we make a choice, is the two of us together.
And when you're out of town, and I've been with you many, many places around the world, when you're out of town, you're in constant contact with Marcia. You're calling her, she's calling you. Talk about how important even that is in building the relationship and ensuring that the relationship flourishes.
Well, I always look forward to talking to her because she thrills me. And, you know, when I'm gone, I think it's my opportunity and my obligation to communicate, to let her know how I'm doing, to let her know that I miss her, and to let her know that everything is going to be all right. And so I do. I call her many times a day, usually, and I even do that when I'm on the way back from the golf course. I'll pick up the phone and say, "Hey, honey, I'm on my way home." And we have found that another thing we do whenever I leave to go out to play golf or leave to go to the office or leave to go away, I kiss her goodbye to let her know that I still love her. You know, all of us need strokes in life, particularly in our relationship with the one that we've chosen to spend our life with. And so we do that. And I just, that's become a real habit with me. And, you know, she means so much to me, and I mean a lot to her. And so we need to express that and never take that for granted, but always express your affection and love for the other person, and that's how you keep your love alive.
Now, a lot of people, Jack, would think about this in a macho way. They would say, that sounds like you're henpecked. You know, that phrase is used in a derisive way, and people sort of have that testosterone surge, and they say, you know, I'm on my own, I'm independent. And you're pointing out that that is not what it is at all. This is all about building intimacy. And this is not only indicative of your relationship with your wife, but your relationship with the Lord. In other words, so often people want intimacy without the investment of quality time. And so you've really invested in this relationship, and you're now reaping the rewards.
You know, you really brought up something. You need to spend time with your wife and spend time in an intimate relationship and talking to her. But you need to spend time with the Lord in the same way. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more you get to know him, and the more you get to love him, and the more he gets to love on you. And when you spend time with your wife, you know, the same thing occurs. With Marcia and I, there are no barriers. We're as one, and we're with one in everything. And we make all of our decisions together. And we spend our time together. Well, I believe that the same thing ought to be true with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to spend time with him and listen to him and let him fill you with his love, mercy, and grace. And when you do that, hey, today I'm more at peace with myself and peace with the Lord than ever before. And that has been something that I've developed over the period of time, because I've learned that I cannot do anything without him. I'm only with him can I learn to accomplish things in life, and he still gives me things to do. He places the projects in my heart and in my mind, and makes life interesting and makes life worth living. And that's what it's all about.
And you have known some of the most significant Christian leaders over the last 50 to maybe 60 or 70 years. And you've not only had an impact, therefore, on your personal family, but you've had an impact on the world through these authors, because you've given those authors a platform, and some of them have gone on to impact the lives of other people. So there's a multiplication process that's going on there as well. You're selflessly investing yourself in the lives of people that, well, we know today, but before you started investing, we might never have known their name.
Well, I've been privileged to publish over 800 books. and we have 87 million books in print. And I've had the privilege of publishing some of the best authors in Christendom today, and I feel so privileged in that. And it's been such a blessing to, I mean, I could name some people, but I wouldn't. And but it's just, it's been interesting to find out what God has for me next. What's next? You know? And they just keep coming, and relationships keep developing. I have a good friend named O.S. Hawkins, as we both know. And it's just been interesting to see how our time and friendship has grown, and the books of that he has published with me have now up in the millions. And it's just, you never know what God has planned for you. Seek it, you'll find it.
So you're looking forward. I mean, a lot of people would say, okay, Jack, you've had a good run. You're 87 years old. I mean, cool it. But you're looking forward, and I think that that has something to do with longevity. I mean, all the days ordained for us are written in his book before one of them came to be. But I think your passion for life, looking forward, is a reason that you have the vigor and the enthusiasm that you have in meeting each new day.
Well, I guess that is the answer, because I look forward to every day. I look forward to coming to the office. I look forward to going to the golf course. I look forward to going to church. I look forward to my time with the Lord. I'm always looking forward. And I really can't explain that, except the Lord has placed in my heart this hunger for his word, this hunger to know him, and this hunger to be a part of his kingdom and to be involved with him in the development of his kingdom. And it's just that's just a privilege, that's all.
I want to kind of get back to this whole marriage deal. You know, all of us have peculiarities. If two of us were identical, one of us would be unnecessary. And, you know, having hung around with you a lot, you know, sometimes I find that there are these little idiosyncrasies that you laugh about. Now, a lot of other people, a lot of other marriage relationships might not laugh about it. They might get angry about it. For example, I mean, this is sort of a cute one, but I mean, there's probably others you could talk about, but Marcia loves to be early. I mean, everywhere you go, she's early. I mean, she's probably a half hour early. Sometimes she's an hour early, but she's always early. And you might look at that, and if you had a different disposition, say, oh, why do I have to go to whatever that event is half an hour early? But you don't. You just realize that that's Marcia. That's what she does. And you accommodate that, and that builds your relationship as well.
I surrendered.
Surrendered.
I surrendered a long time ago. Marcia is the kind, I mean, no matter where we travel, we have to be at the airport at least 2 hours early. And we go to church. Now, the church starts at 8 o'clock. We're there at 7:15. And she says, well, I got people I need to see. I got things I need to do. And I've learned that the best thing for me to do is just to go along for the ride. And we'll never be late, that's for sure. And we just are always on time, ahead of time, even ahead of the time that most people would want to say, well, gee whiz, if you're there 30 minutes ahead of time, well, that's enough. No, we're usually an hour ahead of time.
But talk about how that particular peculiarity is something that ends up building your marriage. It builds your relationship. I mean, you can have those things either separate you or unite you. You've chosen to have that particular idiosyncrasy unite you as opposed to cause you to drift apart. And so talk to people listening in. There are probably thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to your voice right now, and they need some help with their marriage.
You know, you need to pick the positive things out of your marriage that make it happen. And accept the certain idiosyncrasies of your mate that make her happen. And one of the things is being early. That's part of Marcia. And so I've learned to accept that and not fight it, not create a problem from it, but accept it as a positive thing in our relationship. And so I just go along with it. And I always know that we're never going to be late. We'll always be early. And we'll always be there to be on time. And so it's just, I consider that one of her strengths and one of our disciplines that we have that build on our relationship. Because if I'm going along with that, hey, she goes along with some of the things that I do that are part of me, too.
So you have some idiosyncrasies.
Oh, yes, I do.
You want to talk about them?
No, not really.
Not really. Okay, so if you're not going to talk about that, I want you to tell the famous bear story. I mean, you have a place up in Montana, and I've been there with you playing golf, and it's an incredible place on a golf course, and there's a bear story that you've just got to tell the audience because it's absolutely hilarious.
Well, on August 30th in 2014, we have a three-level home, and we were asleep up on the third level. And Marcia awakens me, and she says, "Jack, get up. There's someone in the house." And so normally speaking, I would roll over, and but this time I said, okay. So I got up, and I put my robe on and got my pistol, and we went down the stairs. And as we entered down to the main floor, I looked down, and I saw that the garbage can was turned over. And I turned to Marcia, and I says, "Marcia, we have a bear in the house." And so we went down, and Marcia said to me, "We need to rattle some pans and make noise." So she had a gold dust pan there, and she started banging the pan, and we started talking and turning on the lights. And all of a sudden, the bear, which was in our pantry eating marshmallows, charged out of the pantry and went away from us into our great room. And so he proceeded to try to get out of a window, and he could not. And so after a certain period of time, he came back into our kitchen, and he went around the dining room table and stood up and looked out the window. And when he found he couldn't get out there, he came back and he started back towards us. And we have a pot-bellied stove, about a 400-pound pot-bellied stove. And he went between the stove and the chimney, which is about 18 inches. And he moved the stove out about 4 or 5 inches and went on into the other room and stood up on the davino, looked all around, and finally came back towards us. And as he came back toward me, I thought, oh, my goodness, he's coming right at me. And instead, he went up the stairs, and I turned to Marcia and said, "Marcia, he's going up the stairs." I thought, oh, my Lord, he's going to go up on the second or third floor, and what are we going to do? Well, what happened was he went out the way he came in because our house is next to a hill, and there was a window there that he had opened and tore the screen off, and he had opened that window. And he went out that window the same way he came in. And I mean to tell you that we that happened, and it was about 4:30 in the morning when all of this happened. And naturally, we didn't go back to bed. And the next Sunday, we called the pastor and told him the story. And our story was in the bulletin at church the next day. So. And by the way, this was a black bear, about a 300-pound black bear that had a real attraction and for our house. And the big thing we learned is we never, ever have any of the windows up on the main floor in the evening now. And it was fortunate because we had just come back from West Yellowstone the day before. And if he'd have come in 24 hours earlier, he'd have torn our place all apart.
And I'm sure you talked the bear into writing a book. Hey, you've had an impact on so many different people, and I've sort of alluded to that earlier, but you started a ministry you're deeply involved in that ministry, In His Grip. You know, obviously in the golf swing, the grip is very, very important. It's one of the foundational things that if you learn that correctly, like Arnie did, his dad told him to hold the club a certain way, and Arnie never deviated from that. And he said that was one of the foundational issues in his success in winning majors and golf tournaments all over the world. So there's a ministry called In His Grip, and I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Well, In His Grip, a man by the name of Scott Lehman, who is the president of In His Grip, came to visit us about 12, 15 years ago. And he shared his story that he and his wife were on the verge of divorce. And he picked up this book, In His Grip, which was written by Jim Sheard and Wally Armstrong. And it was a devotional, applying the principles of golf and the principles of Christianity and the parallels between the two. And through that book, he was one to Jesus Christ. Well, Scott was a teaching professional, so he decided that he wanted to start golf tournaments, and with the idea of winning people to Christ. Well, he's had over 400 golf tournaments. He's won over 700 men to Christ, and now he's just bigger than ever, and he's all over the place, and with a ministry that places Christ first, relating, having men relate the game of golf to the game of life. You know, in golf, if you learn to do the things correctly and then practice those things, you can get better at the game. And there's a certain level of, you rise to the level of your ability. Well, if you start out with Christ in your life, and if you learn to live with Him and to study His Word and to find out what a living with Christ is all about, it makes a difference. And the same with golf. If you learn to strike that ball, have a posture, position, grip, and alignment, all of that is important. Well, I think if you have a certain posture in Christ, a certain grip on your life with your relationship with the Lord, and a certain alignment that you need to have of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, that will make all the difference in the world, and you will be successful in life as well as in golf. So that ministry has meant a great deal to me. I've been his chairman for a long time, and I've been his mentor for a long time, and it's just wonderful to see him continue to grow. And what a wonderful ministry he has had, and how he's grown in the Lord. I stand back and watch him and his relationship, and he's really a gifted young man.
He's a great guy. And, you know, you sort of alluded to this, and this is part of what we talked about earlier when it comes to disciplines, but, you know, if you do what you've always done in golf, then you're going to get what you've always gotten in golf, which is if you keep practicing your mistakes, those mistakes will just continue on and on and on. So you have to have those foundational principles right. And again, as that applies to life, it is so critical that we do these basics, that we have, you know, a discipline of reading the Word of God, the journaling that you're talking about. We have the discipline of interacting with the Lord through prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ did that with the Heavenly Father. He often, says Dr. Luke, he went to lonely places and prayed because he treasured fellowship with his Heavenly Father. So if we do these basics in the Christian life, if we're engaged in church, and because Christianity is not about some lone ranger sport, it's always done in community. But if we're committed to those essentials, if we're committed to making disciples, reproducing disciple makers, if we're always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, if we do these basics, life works. If we do not, it falls apart.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. I mean, really, if we don't spend time with the Lord, and I like to concentrate on prayer, you know, living in the Lord's presence is so essential to walking with Him in a moment-by-moment basis. The Lord has the answer to everything. Seek it and you'll find it. And if you try to go it alone, he'll let you. he will absolutely let you. But if you want to include Him in your life, He will come in and guide you and direct you and bless you and give you the peace that passes all understanding, which is so important. How many people in life would just are with the turmoil? I was reading in a book, Just As I Am, with Billy Graham. And Billy Graham tells the story about he was on vacation in the Caribbean, and he went to have dinner, was invited to have dinner with this rich man who had a palatial mansion and had everything. He had yachts, he had planes, he had a helicopter, and he had everything that money could buy. And during the dinner, he was quiet, and he finally said afterwards, he says, "You know, I'm just miserable. I have everything, but I'm just absolutely miserable." And so Billy shared with him the answer to life, which is Jesus Christ. And then that afternoon, they had another visitor, which was an old English pastor, 75 years old, who came over to visit them and to share with them. And he was just as jovial and as happy as could be. And he said that he's spending life taking care of his invalid sister. And he made the comment, he says, "You know, I don't have 2 pounds between me, myself." And he said, "But I am the happiest man in the world." And that's because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the answer to it all.
That really is the answer to it all. You know, another question I have for you, Jack, is how do you maintain skin like a baby? I mean, what's the secret there? I mean, you've gotten into Marcia's stuff.
No, that's my Indian heritage.
So you're a Native American.
Yes.
That's your heritage.
Yes, I'm Cherokee.
You're Cherokee. I know, that's why I always salute you.
That's just a gift which I got to praise my mother and father for. So,
yeah, and your dad, he lived a long time.
Oh, my dad was playing golf when he was 93. He played at the Liberty Mutual Legends of Golf. His last round were there, and we're in the desert playing. And I remember he was playing when he was 90. We were at Barton Creek, and they come up to the ninth hole, and it was about 150, 160 yard hole, and Dad knocked it up there 6 inches from the cup. The crowd went crazy, and so my dad was quite a golfer, and he loved life, and he loved being around his boys, and he was my hero.
There were some real characters back then. I mean, Chi-Chi was one of them. Lee Trevino was another. I mean, these guys had personality. I mean, they just oozed personality.
Well, Chi-Chi was really a friend of the family's. I played with him for 18 years in the Liberty Mutual Legends of Golf, and he there's no one like Chi-Chi. He was just a complete character.
He's a showman.
Oh yes, yes. He said, my pastime and my profession, no, he said, my pastime is playing golf. My profession is signing autographs.
Yeah, yeah. He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he played on a tour for a lot of years, and it always gave you a lot of joy to watch him play. And Trevino, the same thing. I mean, he did all kinds of things that people don't do anymore. Probably wouldn't be tolerated on the tour today, like the time that he threw a rubber snake on the tee when Jack was trying to tee off. And Nicholas took it in stride and laughed, and everybody laughed. And, I mean, it really made the tournament in many ways, and people are still talking about it.
Well, they just don't make those molds anymore. I mean, those guys are just unbelievable.
And so are you. You know, you got a Life Achievement Award, and I remember Kathy and I went to the awards ceremony. The people there from all over the world, that had to be a thrill.
Well, that was such a total surprise. They honored me for creating God's Promises and the 20 million that have been sold, and that is an award that's given to someone who has had special achievements during a year, and that was a thrill. And of course, all the various authors that spoke such wonderful words on my behalf was just something I'll always remember and cherish.
And it was an incredible achievement. I mean, it was one of the most moving evenings that Kathy and I ever spent, just because you're such a dear friend. And I just love that people recognized your impact, your humility, the gifting that God had given you. But I think, too, in every single one of the talks that people gave, Marcia came up. And your relationship has maybe not even so much what you've said, but what you've modeled has impacted the lives of so many people and helped their marriages flourish.
Well, without Marcia, I'm nothing. I mean, with her by my side to guide me, direct me, correct me, and keep me on track, it's been a wonderful treasure, and she is my treasure. And I am just so fortunate that the Lord placed her in my life at a time when I was really struggling. And so it's just been a beautiful thing, and it continues to be, you know. We were in New York recently celebrating our 52nd wedding anniversary, and one of the things she says, I want to go down to Central Park and take a carriage ride. So we went down there and we got a carriage and we went through the park together. And you know, we just spend so many good memories that we've had and all the things that we've done. And it's just wonderful. I mean, I just got to tell you, being married to the right person for the right reason is just such a wonderful thing.
You know what? I think you ought to pass the phone to Marcia if she's there, and I want to talk a little bit with Marcia behind your back.
Okay. Hang on.
Hello again.
You know, Marcia, he's a brave man to hand you the phone. You know, he's been saying all these nice things about you, and
yeah.
I'm sure you've overheard all these nice things he's been saying about you, but you probably have some stories to tell about Jack.
Well, I don't know if I can tell very many of them.
Come on, Marcia. We got to get the behind, you know, the scenes stories from you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will say that the Lord did bring us together because he was 12 years older than I was, and I would have never thought I would be, well, I wasn't even looking for a guy to marry or anything like that, but the Lord put us together when we were in the health club business, and we worked in that for 13 years, side by side, day and night, and that was how we got started. So it was just, it's been a wonderful ride, continues to be a wonderful ride, and he's had some health issues that we've worked through, where he had a TIA a couple of years ago, and that was an interesting situation because when he came home from playing golf, he was mumbling and he was not very steady on his feet, and that was so unlike him. So I just kept talking to him and I said, you know, are you okay? And he would mumble. And we were in Montana at the time. So we sat down to write our bills, which we do together, and he would scribble on the check as he handed it to me. So I said, okay, let's put this check aside. because it's kind of messy, so we'll just go to another one. Because I didn't know how to relate to him, not knowing what was going on. So then he sat there in the chair at the table, and when I talked to him and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he mumbled, and I said, "Do you know who you are? Do you tell me your name?" And he mumbled and mumbled, and I said, "Okay, this is not this is not working." And I had no idea what to do because we were up there on vacation, and all of a sudden, as he was sitting there, he just kind of slumped over and passed out. So I said, "Okay, Jack, now I need for you to open your eyes. You are scaring me." And I just still talk in this nice voice so that I wouldn't scare him. So I thought, "Okay, Lord, what am I going to do?" He didn't fall out of the chair, fortunately. So I didn't know whether to do something rash, like throw water on him or try to shock him back, or do something milder. And the Lord just impressed upon me to get a wet cloth, and I rubbed his face. And his eyes were closed, and I just said, "Okay." I told him exactly what I was going to do, getting the rag. "I'm wiping your face. I need for you to open your eyes. I need for you to tell me where you are," and doing all that. And all of a sudden, he opened his eyes, and I said, "Praise the Lord, he's not dead." So then I kept doing that, and then I said, "I need for you to stand up." So he could understand me, but he just couldn't verbalize what was going on in his head. So he did stand up, and he walked into the great room. And I said, "Well, do you need to go to the bathroom?" And he just mumbled, and he went and sat down on the couch. So I walked around in front of him, and I thought, okay, he doesn't need to go to the bathroom. And So I got down on my knees in front of him and put my hands on his face. And I said, "Okay, darling, I'm going to call Dr. Daniels, and I'm going to see about taking you in." It was on a Saturday at 1:30 in the afternoon, and our doctor doesn't usually work on Saturday. But I called, and I told him the symptoms, and he answered the phone. He happened to be there. So he said, "Bring him in right away," which he did. And thankfully, it happened in Montana, where he's just across the road from where our house is. So I told Jack to get in the car. I was going to drive. I was going to take him to Dr. Daniels, and, you know, every step of the way, which we did. And I said, "I'm going to walk with you up the elevator and go into his office." So we did do all that, and then Dr. Daniels talked to him, and he said, "You know, what's going on?" And Jack just mumbled. So the doctor looked at me, and he said, "Marcia, I think he's having a TIA. I said, "Okay, what is that, and what do we do about it?" So he said, "We need to get him into the emergency room." And so he called the EMTs right away. They put him in the ambulance and took him an hour away down to the main hospital down in Bozeman, and got him in so that they started testing him. And by the time I got there with his dolphin buddy, then he could talk, and he was alert. But they wanted to keep him overnight, and we were supposed to leave to come home that next day. So I said, "Okay, you know, well, we can spend the night. I'll stay with you." And Jack was saying, "No, we've got our tickets. We've got our boarding passes. We're supposed to leave tomorrow." And I said, "No, we're not going to leave tomorrow. We're going to spend the night. I'll stay with you in your room, and we're going to wait till the doctor tells us it's safe to go." So we had to wait a week before he could travel, just so that nothing drastic would happen, you know, in between on the flights. So that was a real exciting experience, but I was thankful that the Lord just kept me calm through the whole thing, and here he is.
Yeah, and you know, Marcia, it's a great example of how wonderful it is to have a faithful partner, someone that loves you. I mean, imagine going through that kind of experience on your own.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that I want to talk to you about for just a couple of minutes is you have all these little habits that are so wonderful. One of them is writing notes, and this is sort of a lost art, I think, in the culture. And what I think is so wonderful about that and many other little disciplines that you have is there's a personal touch to it that oftentimes is lost by texting or, you know, by using a computer. I mean, just the handwritten notes that you write to people, the fact that you remember their birthdays, all of these are important little things in terms of relationships, not only with your husband, but with the broader world as well.
Well, I feel like I have a card ministry, and I just have a feeling for people when, you know, if anything's going on in their lives or whatever, whether it's at church or work or people that we know, I just have an urge that I need to do that. And I'm not content unless I do it. So I've got cards, you know, for sympathy cards and get well cards and all kinds of encouragement cards. And I just can't not do it. I mean, the Lord just has that. It's ingrained in me to be that way. And I'm not, I do use a computer, but to do work stuff usually, or to send an email. But as far as something like that, that's more personal to me. And so I just buy the stamps and I'd buy the cards, and then I'm prepared because I love doing it. And I get a thrill out of doing it for other people.
And everybody that gets a card from you is thrilled as well. I know I have been thrilled on many occasions by your thoughtfulness. Marcia, I want you to talk from a woman's perspective just a few moments. I mean, we've talked, and you're probably listening in as Jack was talking about marriage, the significance of his relationship with you. But talk to people about this from your perspective. What is the secret, you know, you might say the secret sauce in your marriage? Obviously the Lord, but the little things that you do to affirm, encourage, and develop that relationship.
Well, let me see. Let me think a minute. I'm always trying to think of Jack first. And I...
So that's a common thing there, just not to interrupt you there, but that's what Jack was saying as well. He's thinking about you first. He's thinking of you as more important than himself. And you're saying virtually the same thing then on the other side of the coin.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And one of the books that we have read and taught to our marriage ministry teams at church have been the Eggerich's book, called Love and Respect. And I learned something, well, we both learned something from their book that we were just a couple of years ago is when we learned it. And I had no idea. See, I thought Jack was kind of cold sometimes, like he would go and play golf and come back. And I'd say, well, who did you play golf with? What did you learn? Who are they? Who are they married to? How many children do they have? And all that stuff that I'm interested in. And they said, well, we just played golf and this is a score. And I thought, what is wrong with him? How come he doesn't have this care about other people? And until we read their book and learned about that, it talks about that men and women are different. They're wired different. And that the men just want to know the facts, and they want to know the bottom line. So I understood him much better then after learning about that, and he understood about me, how I needed to learn about the people because I'm very relational. And so he looked at me in a different way, and we just got closer as we learned about that, and that wasn't too long ago. So anyway, you're never too old to learn something new. And if you're always trying to better your marriage and better yourself, you know, I think you've got just a great road ahead of you.
And you get that same passion for life that Jack has. I mean, there's an effervescence in your life. I'm not trying to glamorize your life because everybody, as you just mentioned with the story you told, has difficult spots in the road of life. But you really do have an upbeat passion for life and for people. You're talking about a marriage ministry, so many different ways that we can make an impact while we're here.
Right. That's true.
And you do it with such grace. I mean, if you were to talk to another woman about, well, how do you build your marriage or how do you enhance your relationship? I mean, is there anything that pops out in your mind that you would, I mean, that's the first thing I'd tell that person.
Well, aside from talking about caring about the other person and trying to learn as much as you can about them, See, I'm a very insecure person, really. I didn't go to college. I went to work after high school because my father was an alcoholic, and I had a lot of problems at home with that. So I had those things to overcome. So I've always felt insecure about that. Now, until I learned from Anne Graham Lotz not too long ago that she didn't go to college either because she got married right away because that's the way things were done back then, I just got a different perspective, and that made me feel so excited because she's one of my heroes. So I've had to kind of work around being insecure about that fact of not having a college degree and then just learning as I go along.
But one of the things that I've always noticed about you, Marcia, and I think this is a tremendous trait for all of us to emulate, whenever I sit down at dinner with you, you're constantly interested in asking questions about my life, about my relationships, about Kathy, about the kids. I mean, you're really into finding out about the other person's life. And I think that not only enriches the person that has an opportunity to sort of unload on you, but I think it enriches you as well.
Yes, it definitely does. I've got a passion about that. And I'm always interested in the other person. And I always try to weave in the Lord in and among all that as I learn about them. And whether it's saying, God bless you, or I'm glad I met you, and you're whatever, and, you know, even the garbage man or the guy that does our yard. I mean, everybody that I come in contact with, they will have no doubt about where my allegiance lies as far as the Lord is concerned. And I try to do it just in a normal, everyday way.
So I saw Jack with all kinds of bruises all over his face. Did you trip him?
No, and people ask that question. Oh, my goodness. That was another just...
That's just recent.
That was recent, yes. He finally has all the bruises gone now. Praise the Lord for that. But But he's always rushing around. So I knew exactly, once he told me that he missed the step, I could envision him because he was headed out to the car where he had locked the other keys in the car, and he wasn't watching where he was walking, so he just made a misstep. And I was upstairs in the hotel room waiting for our author to come and have a meeting with us in Dallas. So he called me, and he said, I said, did you get the car unlocked? And he said, yes. I said, good. And he said, but I fell. And he said, and cracked my jaw. And I just started laughing because it sounded so typical of him rushing around and walking into the wall or tripping over something. And I said, well, are you bleeding? And he said, no. I said, do you have any broken bones? And he said, no. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, okay. So the security man had given him some ice in a baggie. So he had that, holding that on his jaw. So I said, okay, do we want to go to the emergency room? And he said, no, let's do our meeting. So, I mean, she was due there in 20 minutes.
Just like Jack.
Yes. So then she showed up, and she wanted to take him to the emergency room. And we said, no, let's just do that. And because then we had to meet with O.S. Hawkins at noon. And then we had to catch a plane at 4:30. And the whole reason we were trying to get all that done was so that we could get back to Tennessee on the 4:30 flight, because the next morning I was having cataract surgery, and he was my driver. So I said, you've got to get better. You've got to be able to drive me to my surgery in the morning. And so as soon as we landed here, though, we went to the hospital and had a CT scan done and saw that he didn't have any, you know, blood clot in his brain or any problems like that. So he just was bruised for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now he's okay. And I just sent pictures every day to our friends and said, keep praying. You know, the blood has moved here. That's under his eye. He's got a black eye. And so that was another experience.
You guys had a lot of fun with it. Well, yeah. You know, Marcia, I love you, and I just think the world of you, and I'm so, so happy to have you as my friend.
Oh, thank you. We feel the same way.
Well, you know what you need to do right now? You need to hand the phone to the old man. I want to talk to him some more.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
So we had a lot of fun talking about you, Jack.
Yes, yes. She can write a book about all the things that happened to me, so.
Well, you guys have just started the journey. I mean, I am so excited about the example that you have given to me. And of course, to go back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast, you were an example in many ways, not only about what you did, but how you modeled what your life was all about. And that impacted my relationship with the Lord, ordering my life around the divine in that regard, my family, and in my craft, in writing. So I'm grateful to you in so many different ways, and I'm just glad to have you as one of my best friends.
Well, thank you. You can't imagine how much you've blessed my life and how you've taught me that truth matters, but life matters more.
Mm. And that's the moniker for our ministry.
That's right. And so I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Orlando and laying it on you.
I know you're going to lay it on me, and that's why I'm probably not going to show up. I think an operation will be more fun. Hey, Jack, good talking to you. Thank you for blessing us with your time. Love to Marcia, and I mean, you're just getting started, man.
Well, praise the Lord, and, you know, I'm just asking that he continues to bless us, and I want him to bless you. And to bless our ministries together, that we might make a difference, and may the Lord be lifted up and be glorified.
You are the real deal, and you've been listening to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that is bringing some of the most interesting, and in this case, you can imagine exactly what I'm saying, inspirational, informative people on the planet to you. You can go to iTunes and give the Hank Unplugged podcast a 5-star rating. Jack and Marcia deserve a 10-star rating. Review, subscribe, share. I mean, all of that is your action step in bringing this podcast to people all around the world. Thanks for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you on the next Hank Unplugged podcast. So long for now.